On this Memorial Day weekend, we're thinking about the history of our past. And our two scripture readings have to do with the history of Israel. For the first one, the Old Testament passage, was from very early in Israel's history. Very soon after the nation of the Israelites came into the Promised Land and settled there. Our second scripture passage is much later, from after Christ lived and died and rose again. And it is mostly about the Old Testament. Part of it is about the example that Jesus has set for us. Hebrews, I'm going to read part of the 11th chapter, just selected verses from the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and then the first three chapters, three verses of the 12th chapter. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. This is the word of the Lord. History is bunk, Henry Ford said, and a lot of people agree with him. There is a widespread notion that learning about history is a waste of time, that people who love history bury themselves in the past and never get around to living in the present. They are interested in museums and family trees and ancient relics more than in the opportunities of the present and the possibilities of the future. Now, the writers of the Bible did not agree with that notion that history is bunk. The Bible is a history book, a book about the actions of God in history and the actions of the people who believed in God from about 2,000 years before Christ was born till about 100 years after he died. And all that biblical history was written not to get us to live in the past, but to inspire us to live courageously in the present and to give us a vision for the future. Now, nowhere is that clearer than in the 11th and 12th chapters of the book of Hebrews. In chapter 11, the writer of the Bible describes biblical hero after biblical hero, those biblical characters whose faith enabled them to accomplish amazing tasks. And then he draws his conclusion. He does not say, since we have so many heroes and heroines of the past who did such wonderful things, let us also just sit in our easy chairs and think about them. Let us dream of the past and try to make the world of today like the world of the past. No, what he does say is, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside everything that holds us back and run the race we have to run today with all the energy that we can muster today. Those biblical heroes and heroines were never satisfied with things as they were. They were always trying to make things better, and so must we. The history of God's people in the past doesn't call us to go back into the past. Rather, the history of God's people calls us to build a better future. That's what most of the men and women of our history were doing, and that's what we must do today. All those great people of the Bible were forward-looking people, people who struggled for a better world and a better community of faith. None of them were satisfied with things as they were. None of them wanted to keep things the same. And all of them would want us to strive for a better church and a better world. Now let's look at some of the characteristics of the heroes and heroines from our scripture text in Hebrews, which are also characteristics of great men and women of Christian faith in the days after the Bible was written, and characteristics of most of the great men and women in our nation's history. First, they were all imperfect, fallible human beings. Some of them lost their tempers. Many of them complained to God. All of them made mistakes and regretted them. They included in our scripture text Rahab, a prostitute, Moses, who was guilty of murder, awkward in speech, David, who was guilty of adultery and murder. Some historians of today glorify our nation's heroes as if they had no faults. Other historians debunk those same heroes. They describe many of the leaders of our nation's past as persons who in their personal lives betrayed many of the ideals that they fought for in public. But the writers of the Bible show how great men and women could do horrible things that disobeyed what God wanted, and also be used by God to do courageous, wise, and earth-changing things. God is able to take imperfect men and women and use them for God's glory. Down through history, God has used sinful men and women like you and me to build up the church and to make the world a better place to live. Now, second, these biblical witnesses faced adversity, hardships. They experienced defeat and failure. Listen to part of our scripture text. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in the skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented. And the list goes on today. The list goes on of men and women who even today suffer because of their faith. More persons lost their lives in the 20th century because of their faith in Jesus Christ than in any other century in history. I only knew one personally, an Indonesian pastor, a former student of mine, who stood up for poor people in the area of Indonesia where he lived, poor people who were being oppressed by the Indonesian government. And this pastor was murdered by soldiers of the Indonesian government. I've known several people who either were fired or quit their jobs because their moral principles would not allow them to do things they were asked to do in their work. Now, what obstacles and hardships do the rest of us face because of our faith in Jesus Christ? Criticism, ridicule, unpopularity, failures, disappointments, mental stress, strain. Some of those things may seem minor compared to some of the things that people in history have had to suffer because of their Christian faith, torture and death. But they're significant to all of us who have to face those things. They take their toll on us and they wear us down, and we need the strength of Christ and the support of fellow Christians in order to bear up under them. Now, third, and most important, all of these heroes and heroines of the past were persons of deep faith in God. It was their faith that enabled them to face all of those obstacles of their past in faith and struggle against them. It was faith that enabled them to face great adversity and make those forward-looking decisions. They often won victories in Jesus Christ, significant victories, important victories, but sometimes they suffered terrible defeats. But they were confident that whatever happened, God would win the ultimate victory, and God would use their failures and their successes to bring about that ultimate victory of God. There are two ways to live, our scripture passage says, by faith or by sight, with vision or with no vision. Some people live by sight. They cannot see any farther than they can see with their eyes. They're sure that what they cannot see is dangerous, that the unknown future is full of danger, and they play it safe, take no risk. Other people live by faith. They have a vision, and they move toward that vision. They know that the future is in God's hands, and therefore the future is a place of opportunities. The future has its dangers, yes, and we may get hurt, but the future is a place of opportunity because God will be at work in the future carrying out God's plan. And every time there's a controversial decision to be made, there are persons who decide by faith and persons who decide by sight. Those who live by sight say, let's wait. We don't want to try anything that might fail. We don't want to try anything that people might criticize. Those who live by faith say, we don't know for sure what's going to happen or what people will say, but we do know what God is calling us to do, and we will trust God to work things out, because we know that God is at work in the present and God will be at work in the future. Now, I'm not just talking about two groups of people. I'm talking about two tendencies that are inside most of us. Part of us says, be careful. Play it safe. Don't get into anything over your head. Don't get into anything you can't control. The other part of us says, go for it. You can do it with God's help. Just think of the possibilities. You and I are part of a heritage of people who live by faith. Biblical heroes and heroines, people who have served God in those years, down through those years since the Bible was written, leaders in the history of our nation and in the history of this church and area. People who believe that God was working out His plans for the world and the church, and they were called to help God in that plan. And therefore, they could not live in the past, and neither can we. They would move forward bravely into the future, and so can we. Let's bow together in prayer. Eternal God, help us to learn from the past, but not to live in it. Help us to seize the opportunities of the present, to know your vision for the future, and to make your vision our own, and to work to make it happen. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.